What's going on, guys? How you doing? How's everyone doing today?
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Good. Just making sure all this is set up here. I'm letting some people in now. Okay, so yeah, I'll start off. Thanks everyone for joining. I'll let some more people in as they come in. This is the very first one, so it's gonna be kind of trial and error, but definitely appreciate everybody that has joined the academy, wanted to take it a step further, and the people that are here on the very first call. Essentially, what I wanted to do and the reason why is to basically create more than a flat experience. I wanted more of an interactive experience and really basically dive in deep and help, people kind of see the light on maybe where they're getting stuck. Maybe we can learn some things from each other. Maybe I can learn some things from you and vice versa. And I think it's as important as a community that, I learned options on my own, and it was very, very hard. And I noticed that as a community, it's definitely a lot easier. So I wanted to bring everybody together on a smaller scale, and really, because we have bigger communities. Like, we have the Facebook group's got over 4,000 people. We got a bunch of people on Discord, and what I want to do is people that are in the academy want to learn, want to grow, and I just wanted to kind of put a focus here and kind of build everybody up. And I think it's important to be accountable as a trader. This is why I wanted to do a weekly accountability call, is not only for myself to be accountable, but for everybody. And maybe there's going to be some key takeaways. And kind of the structure of this call is I'll kind of go over, what went well, what didn't go well for me this week, maybe where I got hung up. And then if anybody else wants to share, would definitely be open to that. So I will kick things off here. I mean, for me, it was a relatively quiet week for me. I did take today off, and I took Wednesday off for my daughter's birthday. But I did do some earnings trades. So I did trade SoFi where I had some credit put spreads in there that I'm glad that I closed out, because that thing tanked afterwards. As part of the UVH research lab, I did do an SPX trade. It was small though. It went from 50 cents, bought it for 50 cents, sold it for 95 cents. And now I think those went up to like $2 to $3 yesterday, when the market tanked, and then it recovered. So, I mean, I relatively been keeping risk low. This was a Fed week. So normally during Fed weeks are my worst performing weeks. And knowing that Fed week is my worst performing week, I've definitely, I scaled back. I didn't really trade any futures, mostly stuck to options trades. I also was in Airbnb and AMD earnings. Which Airbnb, I'm surprised, because I actually bought a way out of the money debit put spread. I actually made a $9 profit on that. And then AMD, I also had a debit put spread on there. And I think my max loss on that was going to be like 85 bucks or something. And I was actually able to only lose $29 on that deal. Cause I mean, AMD ripped from, it closed at like 59, ripped up to like over 63. And then when I closed it out, it was like 58. And then it ripped back up to like 60, 62. I don't even know what. Yeah, AMD right now is trading at 61.40. So, I mean, it's just like, I think this market for me, it's been difficult because it will tag each side. Like, you could be a bull or a bear and it will work out just due to the ranges that we're in. And I think it's difficult because, like, okay, are you buying the top, or are you shorting the top? Are you buying the bottom, or is it going to fall on the other leg? Like, at the end of the day, like, we don't really know. Sure, we could use charts and we can do all the things, all the research, and have our technical indicators is above VWAP, is above the 50-day moving average, above the 100-day moving average, all that. But, you know, with the Fed, the other thing was with the Fed's reaction, you know, after they released the 75 basis rate hike this week, the market rallied, and then, you know, Powell really, really laid in. He was like, I think the market's interpreting this wrong. We're gonna have rate hikes that are gonna be even higher than anticipated. We're gonna really lay in. And then we just got, because everyone's like, oh yeah, that's not so bad. That's what we expected. And they'll probably taper off in December. Then he laid in with, oh, it's gonna be, we're gonna overdo it. Not only we're gonna raise rates, but we're actually gonna overdo it just to make sure that inflation's under control. So I think that I honestly don't think they, you know, the market was expecting that. And then even this morning, you know, we had the jobs data come out, unemployment would ticked up just a little bit. We went to 3.7%, you know, and then the market dropped pretty fast and then rallied. We rallied, if we look at the S&P, it went over 3,800, and now we're sitting in the low 3,700s. NASDAQ lost about 200 points as well. And I mean, it's just in this market, I don't know about you guys, and I'll let someone speak here soon if you guys want to share. I think the difficulty is just making sure you're on the right side, using stops and to minimize your risk. But I also noticed that for myself that even if I set a stop, I find myself re-entering because they'll stop me out and then I'll have to get back in. They'll stop me out and I'll have to get back in. And it might take two or three tries for me to actually get some momentum. The problem is getting stopped out so much, you are, you know, tying up capital and you are, you know, having some issues in that regard. But I think if you're breaking even right now, it's not like a bad thing, you know, because the volatility is just, we're in a market we haven't seen in terms of trading, like in our, for most of us in our lifetimes. I mean, the stock market, the bonds has the worst, the bonds are down more than any time in history. So nobody really knows how to navigate this. The only thing that you could do is minimize your risk. And that's really what I've been doing, is just, I've just been trying to like, okay, how risky is this play? Is the risk to reward ratio right now? Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Should I do it? And just kind of ask myself those, like if the risk to reward ratio is if the risk is too high versus the reward, then I don't want to do it. Like right now, S&P was trying to claw back, and right now it just dropped 10 points in about 60 to 70 seconds here, and it's now going to test the lows. So, I mean, we're not used to markets moving 2% intraday, you know, and that's exactly what we are getting now. Sometimes it's you know, we've seen 5% intraday. It's just crazy. So I think that's kind of where, in terms of trading right now, where I'm at in terms of where I find the most issues is just making sure I'm not getting stopped out. And, you know, I'm getting stopped out. I'm getting stopped out left and right here. So I don't know if anybody else wants to share, but that's kind of where I've been at for the last, I guess, couple of weeks, you know.
Hey, Nick and everybody.
Hey, John, welcome.
Hey, thanks. What's going on?
I know, I couldn't stand the silence. I just say something.
Yeah, that's our first one. So I was just like, maybe someone will share, maybe they won't. I don't want to pressure anybody, but I was about to be like, okay, let's share something.
Yeah, I'm just kind of starting out. Read a lot of Tasty Trade stuff. I'm still kind of confused about, like, I can enter some, you know, like straddles and, you know, these trades, but then I don't know how to manage them after they, you know, test a side. I don't have a lot of time to do the research. So I just saw your promotion, so I thought I'd get in here in case, like, I finally find time sometime to research more. What I've been doing in the market is just trying to be directional on the queues and either just go with TQs or SQs, and just sticking with really low. I mean, just going with like 2 shares. So it's not like I'm going to lose a lot of money or anything. Just to see if I can detect the pattern, even though I know that's not like the tasty trade way.
Yeah. Kind of going back to like the tasty trade way, like I definitely understand what you're saying with them and like their strategy. I would say it's good for a lot of people, but for me, it never really did click because I wanted to be, my style of trading is a little bit more aggressive than the tasty trade guys. They're all, and also their risk to reward ratio. I don't know if you checked out the research lab post I did the other day, but you know, I'm always trying to find more reward than risk. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't work out. The good news is when it doesn't work out for, you know, someone like me, I'm going to risk small to earn more. And the problem I always have with tasty trade is they'll risk 10 to make one, you know, and what I'm trying to do is risk, you know, and that's what my goal has always been. Okay. Risk one to make one, or risk one to make two, or risk one to make three. And as you start trading, you'll start to notice different skews, and options pricing does get mispriced, whether to your advantage or to your disadvantage. So it could be your to advantage, your advantage that the option was mispriced, like that the SPX trade that I did for the research lab. I thought that the 3,700 puts for SPX were mispriced, so I bought them for 50 cents, right? And sure, I made 100% gain for the most part, but I thought that, once you kind of start identifying, you know, where things are mispriced, and that's the thing where I feel like Tastywork doesn't do, is they don't really look at what's mispriced or what's priced accordingly. They look at what the expected move is, what the market is expecting the move to be, and then what is IV rank. And sure, you could trade off of that. But if you were selling premium yesterday or today, and when I posted the SPX and SPY trades at the beginning of the week, the expected move was plus or minus 100 points for SPX, and that was on Sunday night. So looking at SPX, the expected move to the upside or to the downside was 100 points, and right now it moved up to 3,900. So when I posted that, we were like 3,880 or something like that. And now we're down towards 3,700. So it moved basically like 180 points, and the expected move was 100 points. So that's kind of where the opportunity was the mispriced options. I felt like the market was mispricing what the actual move was. So then you could buy some further out of the money options and risk less. Now, if you're selling, like what they'll do is they'll sell premium on that 100 point move. Okay, we'll sell one or two standard deviations or whatever you want to do. And those all got burnt to a crisp. And then the problem is you risk 10 to make one, and now you're down a lot more. And I found this market extremely difficult for premium sellers because the moves have been very violent and been going way beyond what the market has essentially been expecting. So I don't know if you've been realizing that. In terms of, like, you know, kind of going on the exit, you know, trying to figure out what your exit strategy is, I found what works really well, especially like for SPY or the Qs or any index, is using VWAP as an entry or exit targets. Because I noticed that, let's say SPY is down right now, and SPY or Qs will attempt to run up there and get rejected. It's been very good at having entries or exits at VWAPs. I don't know if you want to kind of play around with that too, but I've been having a lot of success with entering an exit at VWAP. So let's say I bought down here, like if I bought some stuff down here right now, I would be looking for spy or cues to run up and then exit at the VWAP, and you can set that up automatically to happen with very little effort on your part.
One thing you said, you posted some stuff. Is that in the Discord or where is that?
So the research lab, if anybody here is not in the Discord, I definitely encourage you to join. If you don't have the link, I'll send it over to you. So I did post it. I did post it in the Discord, the actual play. I did send out an email of, kind of the ideas that I had going into it, but I did post the actual play in the Discord.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not in the Discord.
Okay. Yeah, if you need a link, let me know. I can shoot one over to you.
Yeah. Should I send you an email or text or?
No, I got you.
Okay.
I'm good. I do have text. I don't know if you guys are in the text, but I do have text set up as well for just kind of makes it easy for me when I'm on the go and stuff to communicate with you guys. But yeah, I mean, if you're like a new trader, such as yourself, John, I think that this market is also kind of a blessing to new traders to kind of go through this now versus a lot of traders that we talked to, in 2020, 2021, that it was basically a straight pump. The Fed was just pumping liquidity in the market. And those traders have gotten roasted, just because they were used to the easy monetary policy. And, anytime there was a dip, that it would get bought because the Fed was just buying everything that they could. And they did that for, way longer than they should have, Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're making it through this market or attempting to be in this market, and that's kind of why I wanted to get more active now is involved with you guys. Cause like, this is very, very hard, even for very experienced traders. I mean, people are losing their shirts left and right, and I think if we make it through this, break even or small losses, and, you're not going to win every day, every week, every month. But if you're getting out with small losses and you're breaking even in this, like, I think that, we all have a bright future of trading ahead. And when things are a lot easier, we're going to be off to a really, really good place because we're going to have all this experience. And there's some people in here right now that know that traded through COVID and all that, and are better traders for that. Like when COVID hit, it was very, very scary. Now this type of market is way different, where we're in a basically slow bleed bear market, and we have massive rallies that get people excited, and then they crater it, So you guys don't have to share, but I want to just give you guys the opportunity to, if you want to, how your week went, any strategies that work, anything that didn't work.
Hey everybody, hey Nick, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, Bill?
Hey, I just wanted to kind of just, come online. I know you and I kind of trade identical in terms of, recently we've been seeing with flow, but because I think kind of now what we've been seeing now is, a lot of what we've been seeing is very flow heavy. Obviously with, FOMC and, what we've been getting the last couple of days, it's been, it's pretty relatively hectic. And I feel like flow has been a good indicator of what's the future to come. But I will say, kind of based on what I'm seeing now, just looking at flow today and looking at kind of the strategies and what everybody's doing now, this is just kind of what I've been seeing is, just for the sake of what I've been noticing is we're looking very bull heavy into next week. Obviously that could change just based on what I'm seeing now. Obviously we have CPI coming up next week, so that can, people may be pricing into that or, taking a gamble on what that could be. So kind of keep that in consideration. But, just looking at SPX, looking at UVXY, flow has been coming in. It is looking a little bit more bull heavy into next week. 370 is a key area, massive negative gamma in that area. So if we fall below that, it's not looking too good at all. If we do hold 370, we close today 370, I think we're in a good shape for a balance into Monday. But negative gamma is a huge indicator that I look at. Obviously that will act as good price action for support resistance, but we have about 950 million negative gamma at 370. So that's key, huge, if we can hold 370. But yeah, just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right about like the flow, and that I think in this market, it's been easier to spot like other trades, like bigger trades, because like not everyone's just pumping money. And when they do pump money in, they pump it into a place for like a very particular, for a very particular reason. So I think that you're right. Like the, in terms of like the expirations and, you know, like what you say about like gamma risk and all that, like, I mean, right now everybody is trading, 'cause there's so much volatility. Everybody's trading like, you know, few like same day, zero day expirations. They're trading this week. You know, there's not, you know, I mean, you see some like leaps and stuff that are enticing, but for like the most part, like everybody's trading, like, you know, we've had over the last couple of months, we've had the biggest expiration Fridays that we've ever had, where trillions of dollars expire in one day. And that's why I think like a lot of times, like Fridays, I mean, if you look at today, even, I mean, this thing pumped up hard and then cratered. And now what would be the biggest thing is, I mean, the markets are still maintaining green. You know, today is an expiration Friday. It's not OPEX or anything like that, OPEX, but I think that you're right about the gamma risk, and that right now, I mean, the options are moving the market in terms of directionality, especially intraday. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the result is down. You know, we're below all moving averages, but I do think, like, you know, when we're spotting, like I spotted a order the other day. It was on a company called STEM, STEM. And at the time, and I saw the order, STEM was trading at like, I think it was like 1250, 1260 or something like that. And then someone put in like, I think it was 300K, something like that, a $300,000 order. They had expiration. It was for expiration this week. Earnings was this week, but as they put the order in, like it was two days before earnings. I'm like, okay, maybe this is earnings play, but they're kind of doing it a little bit early. Maybe I'll kind of see what this is about. So at the time, they only cost like 55 cents. But the liquidity, like the liquidity on this, the bid ask was like 5 cents, 10 cents, 20 cents on most. And on the 12 strike that they bought 12 strike puts. And on those puts, they had like 9,000 volume on it. And all the other strikes had like 10 or 20, not even, they couldn't even, like most of the strikes didn't even have like 50 volume or anything. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll just buy two, cost me $100. And within minutes, that trade was up like 40%. I then closed them out. I think I closed both of them out for like 80 or 90% winner. But like when it comes to like order flow, you know, it is a lot easier. I would say it's a lot easier to spot those plays, but I would say, like, if you're inexperienced with trading, like order flow is going to be very, very noisy and trying to spot certain things. 'Cause a lot of people, especially if you're trading like SPY or QQQ or anything like that, you're going to be spotting things on order flow that is for a lot of different reasons, you know, whether funds are hedging, realigning. We don't know, like if anyone here is trading order flow, you don't know what the reason is for that other person putting that trade on. Like, you don't know what the portfolio is. Maybe they're just like, hey, I want to be delta neutral, I'm going to put this trade on. You know, you don't know. They don't care if that trade goes up or down. They just want to balance their portfolio and be neutral in a certain position or in their portfolio. So I do agree with, you know, pretty much all you said there, Adele.
And yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, just kind of reiterating what you said. Yeah, I mean, all shorter dated. You know, we've been seeing big money is just, it's still know, I think a lot of people kind of get this misconception is big money is not, it's still on the sidelines. I mean, we're not seeing big money pop in like we did 2019, 2020, 2021. So, you know, and that's kind of why we're seeing VIX as low as it is, you know, people aren't, I mean, no, you know, people are saying, oh, you know, this, they're not buying puts. I mean, yeah, you could say that, but you can also make the claim that they're just, they're not putting money to work. So a lot of these guys are just sitting cash and just waiting for that next move. So, I mean, the next move, when it comes and when it happens, it's going to be huge, whether that's a massive upside or massive downside. I mean, a lot of these guys are waiting, you know, they're waiting for that next move. So, I mean, you can make that justification that, okay, this is why VIX is the way that it is. But I mean, they brought up a nice, you know, nice segment on CNBC a couple of days ago where they brought a Goldman Sachs analyst. And I mean, they said that they're more in cash now than they've ever been in the last 20 years, you know, kind of as an example of just seeing kind of big money just sitting on sideline. And they don't do that. That's not necessarily something you see all the time. So, I mean, this is, I would say kind of like what Nick was saying, this is an environment that we're not used to. We haven't seen this before. And, you know, just to be in this environment, trade that what, you know, the environment that we're in now, I mean, this is pretty severe. I mean, what we're in is pretty huge. And, you know, if we can come out of this better than what we came in, I think that's just going to make us all better traders in the end. And, you know, we'll be able to trade through anything. So, but yeah, I mean, everything Nick said was valid. And, you know, I think this is a pretty interesting time that we're in right now.
I think one of the biggest things on Twitter that I've seen in regards to like cash, everyone's like, well, if the cash is on the sidelines, it has to go somewhere. And they're going to put it in the market because they can't just be sitting in cash. But I think that is not necessarily true. Like, I think they could just sit in cash. And if yields are paying out, you know, they could be getting, you know, 5%, you know, maybe even more here soon with zero risk buying. You know, if the government's paying them out 5% of their money, why would they buy anything in the market that is very high risk right now? Like, you know, I mean, you have big companies like Meta and Amazon. I mean, they're down 60, 70, 80%. I mean, you don't know what is a good purchase right now. Everyone thought they knew, but then everyone thought they had a good purchase when Meta was 150 because it came down from 300 or 400. And they're like, oh yeah, it's a good buy at 150. And now it's sub, what is it even now? Sub at 90, sub, I mean, like, I mean, yeah, it's sub 90 right now. Like, there's, I mean, so it's like a lot of people that knew what they thought, if they thought they knew what they were doing, but in reality, like, this is, I think this is humbling a lot of people because you really don't know anything. And a lot of people are like, a lot of the older people that I talked to are like comparing it to like the 2000 bubble. And they're like, well, yeah, I mean, things went down to basically penny stocks, you know, lost 99% of their value. And then, you know, a stock like Microsoft, it took them to like 2015 to 26, like, was it 2015 or 2016, somewhere around there, took them like 15 to 16 years to get back to their 2000 high. So like, I think about that often. Like, can you imagine if this sell-off, you know, it takes another 15 years to revisit these highs after we're all done? Like, this is, I mean, that, I think that should definitely wake a lot of people up in terms of like, should I stay in cash or should I start buying, you know? And I fully believe like when it bottoms, like, we'll know where the bottom is. Like, it'll be sitting there for a while. I think people got used to like COVID where we had like an immediately V-shaped recovery, but it seems like to me that's not really going to happen here.
And then I mean, yeah, just kind of to, you know, go off of that, and you know, I'll give someone else a chance to speak after, but you know, I think if we can, you know, mention that, you know, what's a variable or what's fair price on these things? Cause I mean, I feel like that's a common thing. Oh, you know, Amazon's here or Apple or Netflix or whatever. Oh yeah, it's this low, you know, it can't go lower. And I think now we're seeing it now is, you know, why can't it? You know, obviously the market's repricing everything. To make a claim that Amazon at $84 is cheap, it's cheap to what sense? I mean, how can we make that confident? You know what I mean? So I think now we're seeing it now is, you know, obviously everything's being repriced. You know, where is that? Okay, this is this is a fair play, or this is a value, or this is a buy. And if you look at PE and forward PE, everything is being readjusted. So I think when going in, when you're, you know, buying that long-term portfolio, or you're looking to buy into your shopping cart of value or stocks you're looking at, I think you want to take that in consideration that, you know, obviously everything's being repriced. So what we thought is cheap in 2019, 2020, and, you know, first part of 2021, you know, may not be, you know, realistically now, you may not really be as cheap as you think. So I just thought that was a really interesting one. You know, obviously Meta is a huge example on that, from $300 to $80. And I mean, every day it's making new lows. So, I mean, that's a no touch zone if a stock does that for a while. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had I thought it was just insanity. So you had like Penn Gaming Inc. during COVID went from $3.75 and it topped out at $142. And right now that stock is $32 essentially. Like, you know, and then you had Peloton. Peloton is actually below its COVID low. Its COVID low was like $18. It went from $18 to $171, and now it's $9, and it hit a low of $6 the other day. So I feel like, you know, with the what you're saying about value, is I think our perception of value is very skewed, because the Fed was pumping in liquidity, giving people, you know, they gave people a lot of money, and then the Fed was buying assets as well. It wasn't just like people buying them. Fed was buying assets and, you know, overvalued everything. And, you know, we had, you know, what people call like, oh, they didn't think like, oh yeah, back in the day we had the tech bubble, then we had the housing bubble. And, you know, they're starting to coin it like, this is like the everything bubble, where everything is expensive, and we have, you know, high inflation. So stocks are expensive, food is expensive, housing is expensive, gas is expensive. I mean, it's just like, I think we're in a territory that, I mean, none of us have ever, I mean, no, I don't think anyone here has been old enough to live through anything even like this before.
You know, I like what you guys are saying though. I think it's a super good point that if you're trading in this environment and learning in this environment and you survive this environment, then you can pretty much do anything. I mean, cause it's making warriors, I think, out of everybody.
I mean, it's intense. It's intense.
Yeah, Nick, I'm not sure there's no mic on my screen, so I had to grab a mic. I'm not even sure it's working. Can you hear me?
It's working.
I hear. Yeah. You. In defense of the, nobody being around long enough. My first account was approved 2 days from what they consider the pinprick that busted the bubble for the dot-com bust. So this is very, very reminiscent in a lot of ways of what I saw then, but there wasn't all the Fed manipulation at the time. So this is familiar territory for me. I've been through this. I've seen this movie. And so just to know, not everybody here is a youngster.
Yeah. So I guess my question is for you, David, is this like, you say it's very reminiscent of that era. And that's what I've been hearing from a lot of, you know, older traders that I talk to that have been around and been trading, you know, the markets for 20 plus years. You know, would you say, you know, this is just the party's just getting started here, or... You're gonna scare some people here.
Yeah, I have to be careful, because I have scared quite a few people, including my own accountant. You know, it's when you know, if you go back and read Dow from the turn of the century, he talks about the ebbs and the flows of the market being dictated by supply and demand. But when you manipulate it so much that it gets out of sync with the that natural ebb and flow, the fall off points a lot of times go fall over extreme troughs, and they just get exasperated. And they've actually, at this point, it's pretty broken. I don't see a quick comeback from this. And you pointed out how long it took some things to reestablish their value in terms of 10 years, 12 years, 8 years after, you know, these big busts for the housing, the dot-com and all of that. Knowing that, I went 100% into cash back in October when the Fed announced it was going to raise interest and that it was going to, you know, clear off their books. So even at this point, I'm over with 70% in cash. I feel like I'm over at a disadvantage. I have plenty in reserve for when that time comes, but I don't expect it soon. I think this is going to be protracted out for quite a period of time, simply because there is no more Fed Band-Aids, or at least they're not willing to go further into to debt to do that. So again, hate to be a doomsdayer, but everything should be held kind of close to the cuff. And in the moment at this point, in taking any long-term view on it, the market will tell us what it's going to do. And it hasn't given us a sign, in my opinion, yet that it's done, you know, pulling back.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Like, I think one of the things that I've always been proud of here in our community is that, like honesty and not trying to pump each other up and be like, oh, no, just buy the dip, everything will be fine. You know, because at the end of the day, like we're real traders here and we're trying to navigate this. We don't need like, you know, back, like I remember back when, you know, was it 2020, 2021, AMC and GameStop, all the meme stuff was going crazy and everyone's calling me stupid. I'm like, hey, you guys got to minimize your risk here. You guys got way too much risk here. And now all those traders got blown up and, you know, we're still trading here because the key to trading, as you know, since going in cash is to have longevity in this, you have to understand your risk and minimize your risk. If you minimize your risk, and that means you can be here and you can make money in the good times and in the bad times. And I think that you're right that I think the Fed, I don't know if they were scared and they did it out of fear in like 2020 and COVID. And like, why did they keep, you know, the question is like, my question has always been like, why did they keep pumping the markets in 2021 when there was no sign of anything bad going to happen? Jobs were strong. People were going back to work. Everything was fine. But throughout all of 2021, they're like, we're just going to keep pumping the markets, keep buying assets, keep doing this. And then, you know, then housing got out of control and now we're in a, you know, the inflation's out of control. Like, I mean, it doesn't make sense. And then you have Powell yesterday saying, oh, we're going to do it. We're going to overdo it to the other side now. Like you guys, we overdid it on the one side. Now we're going to just going to raise rates and crush jobs. And, you know, hopefully you guys are going to hope you'd be along for the ride here, you know, like.
Well, you know, good point you're making all the way around. And one of the things that I'm seeing in your earlier comment about all the cash sitting on the sidelines, I don't know who, if that was your comment or not, but what I'm noticing is I have other accounts that are 100% in cash. And so I'm able to watch the P&L month to month. And what I've noticed is they were flat with no interest for quite a long period of time. And now all of a sudden they're showing movement based on the interest on the sweep on those accounts. I'm actually watching them go up. And I'm sure that, and this is something that isn't talked about a lot, but cash is a position. Yes, inflation's chewing up the buying power of that, but the risk is much less, and that's fixed and known by the inflationary number. But a lot of people feel like they have to trade, and that cash is a very legitimate position, especially in this kind of market where wait and see is probably the best you know, view of the market until we get again a confirmation that we've really put in an honest bottom. And I don't expect that to be even all the way out. If I were to just speculate, I'd say sometime mid 2024, maybe we might see something reminiscent of a solid base. to work off of. But with the Fed's manipulating so hard to try to pound down the inflation number, one of the things they don't, their interest increases does not have a bearing on is the cost of energy, which is discounted from the numbers when they project all these numbers. And so right now, I think the hardest thing they're working against, and even if they overdo it, is not going to correct until energy comes down. That number is actually affecting everybody's bottom line. So anyway, I got a call, so I'll stand down.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of like the energy, I mean we're not in good shape in terms of that, and Europe is even in a worse position. You know, nat gas and oil, I mean we could probably talk about that all day, but anybody else got anything they want to share for the week? Anything good, anything not so good? If not, we'll probably cut it here so we're not taking up everyone's day, but you know, I want to give one more opportunity.
Nick, I do have a question for the group and to you. Long time ago, I was able, because of my high trading volume, it was easy to negotiate down my options fees with Ameritrade and previously with Scottrade. Has anybody here tried to negotiate their future fees and get those down any? Or would I be wasting my time?
So who's your broker?
I'm going through TD Ameritrade and I'm using TOS.
Yeah, that one's expensive. I guess it depends on what your volume is. Like if your volume is like, I would say less than $10,000 a month, I think you're going to have a hard time. If your volume is over $10,000, you do have some leeway. Other brokers that, like, you know, for futures trading that I would recommend, NinjaTrader or TraderVate have been my favorite trader brokerages. Their fees are pretty minimal. They're a Chicago based. I don't get any commission or anything from this. This is just who I use. NinjaTrader is based out of Chicago here, and they recently purchased TraderVate. They're one and the same now. Now their technologies are different. NinjaTrader, you're going to have it's built for a Windows desktop app. So you'll have a Windows desktop application. TraderVate, they do have a Windows app as well, but they're mostly focused on web. So you could use Chrome or Firefox to trade in, whereas NinjaTrader, you can't. I'm hoping that they, in the future here, they kind of integrate where you could use your same account on web or on desktop. Because if you're trading on different platforms, there's like for NinjaTrader, there's no like iPhone app, Android app, or anything like that, where TraderVate has all that stuff. So I'm hoping those kind of come together. But the NinjaTrader desktop app is actually it's amazing with a lot of the things that you could do in terms of automation. And I think if you're trading micros, I think it's around 50 cents a contract to open, 50 cents to contract to close. And if you're trading the minis, I think it's like $1, $1.50 a contract versus you're probably paying over $2 a contract now. So
yeah, that I'll look into both those. Yeah, because it's $2.25 a contract. So
yeah,
you need a whole dollar move on the MES, for instance, just to break even on your
That's rough. So like, because what I've been doing is I've been setting up automation and auto like trail runners and stuff like that. And what I found when I use TD Ameritrade and some of the other brokers, that when you go over $2 a contract, especially on MES, you know, making any type of money is almost impossible. So I've been actually with NinjaTrader for a couple of years now, and been using their platform, and I use TraderVate as well. I have an account there as well. And I would say it's even better than what TD Ameritrade has to offer. The only thing that I like about TD Ameritrade is the convenience of having everything else there. of having access to the funds, like a checking account, debit card, all that kind of stuff, and ease of use to move it around. But also maybe you don't want that to you know, maybe it's a lot of times easier to kind of turn some of those things off. So I've been using NinjaTrader for the most part, and then Tradivate for kind of web and app if I need to use it on the go. But my primary broker right now for futures is NinjaTrader. And yeah, you're gonna save a ton of money. You'll be able to get in and out of trades. I think you can, if you like, sometimes on MES, I'll set my stop for like my runner, like a quarter, like 25 cents above where I got in, and that's enough to cover the fees.
Yeah, it you know, when you could stay in the trade longer, it was fine. But I'm making money on my positions, but I'm giving it all back in fees. And I just got my statement for October, and you know, I made like 368 or something. I paid out 475 in fees. It just negated, and it turned out just be a waste of time. So anyway, thanks for that. I'll look into Ninja and Tradivate, yeah, and see if I can move something over there. I do like the convenience of I'm at that age where they force me to take money out of my IRAs. So I do like the convenience of being able to just transfer it directly over into a non-IRA account with checking and an ATM card, so I can have some reap some of the rewards of all these years of beating my head against the wall.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're trading like MES or MNQ, those are like 50 cents a contract, which is going to help you out tremendously. Anybody else got any questions, concerns before we hop off here?
Nick, what's your plan going forward for next week with everything we got going on next week?
Unfortunately, because you know it's going to be data heavy, I'm going to have to go small. I mean, I think we're all kind of looking for a bounce here, like you were suggesting, but I'm also keeping an open mind that if things are rough, we could definitely test this year's lows, which is not ideal, but nobody wants to see that. But it's on my radar. I definitely think with the data and after the Fed, hopefully what Powell said kind of, you know, it's starting to price in some of this. But I don't think inflation's coming down, and then, you know, we're also going to be heading into this election and all this, and you know, I don't know what the end result of all that's going to be. So like, I'm unfortunately, like, and that's why I said, like, hopefully soon I can go back to some regular sizing here, because right now I'm winning trades, but my sizing is very, very small. And the reason why is just because I just don't trust the market right now. I can't do it. You know.
Yeah, and just a heads up, Thursday is the big day with all the CPI reports coming out.
Do you know what the expectation is?
I do not.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to look in it. So we'll publish the impact report Sunday. You'll get that Sunday, which should have all the details in there. Should be in your email box. And it's in when you log into the website as well, so it should have all the details and also the all the events coming up here. But I definitely appreciate everyone jumping on here. You know, I think this is good. If you guys have any questions, and if you guys need an invite to the Discord, let me know. Also shoot me a text if you want. It's a lot easier to kind of go back and forth if you guys have questions kind of moving forward. But definitely appreciate everyone. You guys have a great rest of your week, and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Good to see you. Good to talk to everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Everybody have a good weekend.
Appreciate it.